From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Francesca Luca Show, where we dive into stories that inspire, change, and empower us all. This show is sponsored by Aaron Zell Coaching. Aaron is a rock star nutritional coach. So if you're looking to shed that winter coat, visit her at aaronzell.com. And I personally know because I started her program just 8 days ago and I lost 3.5 pounds. So I'm very excited. So definitely look her up. All right, little housekeeping. If you missed part of the show, you can mosey on over to my Apple Podcast and listen there. And if this show resonates with you or someone you love, please share it. And I'm so grateful for all your reviews. So please keep them coming so that others can be as informed as I hope you have become with my show. All right, let me introduce you to my guest. Sternberg is a co-founder and director of the Sternberg Center for Successful Relationships. She's developed groundbreaking insights into the dynamics of love triangles and love traps. Through her work, Karen's identified key patterns that often keep us stuck in dysfunctional relationships. Personally, I don't know anyone that's not in some form of dysfunctional relationship, but that's for another night. She's helping people break free to create healthier and more stable connections. And I am thrilled that she's with us. So big welcome to you, Karen. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
So, I'm going to start with even asking you what a love triangle is, because I bet you there's some listeners out there that might just not know.
Yeah, so a love triangle generally is a situation where two people are both romantically interested in the same third person. And that obviously comes with a range of emotions or consequences, like, you know, people might be jealous or they might feel some rivalry. But there's also actually some disagreement on what really constitutes a love triangle, because love always is somewhat complicated. And so when you think about what is a relationship, that's often hard to answer in everyday life. So the same thing is also true for a love triangle. For example, does there have to be sex involved? Or do you just talk a lot? Or does it really need to be a relationship between, like those two people with the middle person that's involved with both people or not? So there are a lot of questions which is not always clear what constitutes a love triangle or relationship and what doesn't.
So I want to just back up here for a second, because I'm not understanding that both people, my understanding of a love triangle is usually it's one person that has a stronger relationship with, it's a romantic relationship, but then there's a third person that's kind of out there in the wings that could actually be maybe a girlfriend, boyfriend. They're very serious, and he has a daughter from a first marriage, and she doesn't like the girlfriend, and they're looking to settle down. It could be a mother and a father. Maybe the father is jealous of the mother's love for her son. It could be that two people have a relationship and the one of them has an ex-partner, an ex-spouse who's still very much in the picture. So am I understanding that incorrectly?
Well, you know, you can define it in different ways, but commonly how a love triangle is understood, that you've got two people who are both interested in the same partner. So, for example, you've got a married couple, but then the husband or the wife is also seeing somebody else. Or in relationships where you're not yet married, where you're just dating, but there's a third person involved. So really what makes a love triangle A love triangle. And that then, of course, would in a way also apply to the other situations that you have described, is that there's one person in the middle and two other people vie for their love and their attention.
There could, well, you know, I did actually a show years ago. I confess I cannot remember the woman's name, and she had quite a business, and she had a policy in her company called No Triangles, and I remember, well, I thought it was really fascinating, really, really interesting. So I think triangles, it doesn't have to be romantic, but I guess if we're talking about romantic relationships, then it would. However, I also think that two people could be romantically involved, and there could be another person that is having sort of an emotional relationship with someone. And I'll even, full disclosure, this was many, many, many years ago. I mean, many. And I was actually married, but I had a friend who was a male, and he was always a friend. And that's all he ever was a friend. Mm-hmm. But it definitely caused friction at the time, in the marriage. But I remember speaking to a professional about it, because this friendship was really important to me. And I'll just never forget it. And I remember her saying, well, you have an emotional affair going with this friend of yours, and you are in the midst of a triangle. And I remember, and I did end up ending the friendship, because, you know, it was obviously a problem. I mean, it was sad for me, but I, you know, made that right decision at the time. So I'm not so sure it needs to necessarily be a physical relationship either.
Yeah, I actually absolutely agree with you. And so one very important part of what really makes any relationship, any interpersonal relationship, a relationship, is that love or our feelings for others, there are three components: intimacy, mm-hmm. passion, mm-hmm. and commitment. And so you can have, as you said, you can have relationships that are just mainly defined by intimacy. You share a lot with the other person. They give you support. You talk a lot, that kind of thing.
So you're talking about emotional intimacy.
Yes, intimacy.
Yes, okay, yes. Go ahead. Yeah.
And then there's passion. And passion can be of a sexual kind, but totally doesn't have to be. Because think about your feelings for a child. Parents are extremely passionate about their children without there being any sexual feelings involved. Mm-hmm. So passion really, or like those very strong feelings, you think about a person all the time, you want to be close to them, you can't live without them, something like that. And then as a third component, we have commitment. So are you committed to that person, to that relationship, or not? And so really any relationship we have in our lives can be described in terms of those three components: mm-hmm. intimacy, passion, and commitment. And depending on the components, what is present and to which extent, you have different kinds of relationships. If you just have intimacy, as you described with your friend, then it's a friendship. If you have intimacy,
I think it was more than a friendship, because it's my ex-husband now, but long before I had, gotten married, we were very good friends. And I mean, he was like my best friend, and, mm-hmm. you know, shared all sorts of everything. So, I mean, and then when I started to run into issues in my marriage, guess what? Guess who I went to? Right. So, in fairness to my ex, although that was the only thing about him that was that I will give him, I'll cut him some slack with. But anyway, But anyway, enough disclosure about my personal past, which was many, many, many years ago, listeners. So since then, I'm all grown up. I'm a big girl now. But I think that, and I also think that, too, there's triangles, especially when, you know, there's an ex. I think that can definitely wreak havoc, and children, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it also depends on what's important to you. So different things are important to different people and to different at different times in their lives. So whereas somebody might not feel threatened if their partner is emotionally very involved with somebody else, they might be very upset when they're sexually involved with someone. So it really depends on the person and on their, you know, their life situation. Also, I can tell you more in a little bit about love stories and on the love story that they have. It also depends on that. But so it really, you know, if somebody feels threatened and defines something as a love triangle, also depends on how much weight they give the fact that, you know, their partner is emotionally involved or very emotionally intimate with somebody else, for example. So that really matters. And also it matters for your happiness, and it might be a reason that people are seeking out love triangles or get caught in these at all, because you have a certain ideal for what you wish in your life. So what do you want? How much intimacy do you want? Because not everybody wants a lot of intimacy. Some people feel more comfortable if they don't have to share so much. Or not everybody wants commitment. Some people are looking for relationships where they don't have to really commit. So it really depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really, if you don't get what you need in terms of intimacy, passion, and commitment, that's when you begin to be unhappy, or where you then may also begin to look somewhere else for what you don't get in your relationship.
What are some of the most common reasons people find themselves in love triangles? When we come back, more to come. Listeners, stay with us here.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Are you not only ready to feel more confident in your body, but want to experience lasting health? Then Erin Zell is your go-to person. Erin is uniquely prepared to help you navigate the changes that are inevitable in midlife. Regain energy, strength, and most important, a sense of self without a restrictive diet and an overwhelming routine. Get started now on your journey toward feeling your best. Contact Erin today to begin feeling your best. Visit her at erinzell.com. You'll be glad you did.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back. Let me reintroduce my guest. She is the co-founder and director of the Sternberg Center for Successful Relationships. Her name is Karen Sternberg. She is lovely. And she is here with us right now. Welcome back to you, Karen.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So, before the break, I asked you, what are some of the most common reasons that people find themselves in love triangles?
So, as I have said before, there are three things that people may be looking for in a relationship: intimacy, passion, and commitment. And if any of those needs doesn't get fulfilled, for example, they might seek to get involved in a love triangle. And especially passion, for example, tends to decrease over time. And people might find themselves in a situation where they feel their love has dissipated and they're more roommates than lovers.
Mm.
Or people may also be looking for someone who's got money to provide them with, you know, anything they want, or with resources. Or they're looking for affection. Or they want someone who's richer or more successful or more beautiful. So there are a lot of different things that people can be looking for. And I think one thing that's also very important is individuals' love stories. So we had talked about the components of love: intimacy, passion, and commitment. But where are those components actually coming from? Why do people want a certain amount of intimacy or commitment in their relationships? And that comes from their love stories.
And are you talking about, like, you have on your website, take our free quiz, identify your love trap. Is that what you're referring to?
So when I talk about love traps, I'm talking about a specific kind of love story. I actually also have a quiz about love stories. So the bigger construct we're talking about are love stories. And love stories influence pretty much everything when it comes to your relationships. They're kind of like the lens that you see the world through. And you begin to develop your individual love story when you're a child. You see your parents and the relationship they're in. You observe neighbors and friends. You build your own relationships, mm-hmm. and you read books, and you watch movies, and you create this image of what love and relationships are supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. And then you set out to make this come true in your own life. So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly. But then what happens if you have, and the model obviously would be your parents. Well, what happens if your parents had a toxic or dysfunctional relationship, but that's what you know? I guess I'm thinking this was many years ago. It was really just more of a casual acquaintance thing, and I don't remember how we got into this conversation, but anyway, she was just really super attracted to narcissists, and I remember her saying, no matter how much therapy I've had in my life, yep, I know I'm attracted to them, and I know that they're not good for me, but you know what? I see a narcissist, he starts talking, and I swear on my forehead it says, jump me, you know? So, you know, what she was saying is that she had this intense sexual energy around narcissistic men. And she said, as I said, her mother was a narcissist. So she was drawn to that. And that's a very unhealthy love story, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely, and there are a lot of unhealthy love stories, and a lot of them actually originate in our childhood experiences. Mm. And so people have different different conceptions of relationships. So, for example, think also about fighting. Do you think fighting is something that's healthy and needs to be done in a relationship, or do you think it's threatening? So all these things really come from your love story, that lens through which you see the world and your relationships. And that is also where what I call love traps come in, because sometimes our conception of relationships and our beliefs about ourselves and our partners and what we're looking for, it isn't healthy. And so we have in our research identified 26 different kinds of love stories, but obviously not all of them, you know, are like lead to failure. In fact, there's not a single one that always leads to failure, because mostly what you need for success in a relationship is to have a love story that is compatible with your partner's love story, so that you're a good fit in that respect. But there are some things that I have identified in my practical work with clients where people encounter failure over and over again. And it's exactly what you said. It's that people fall for the same kind of partner again and again who isn't really good for them. Mm-hmm. Or they have the same relationship issues throughout many relationships or in one relationship over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that's what I call a love trap, because you have those beliefs and those views of relationships, and you feel an attraction toward people who aren't good for you. There are ways you can actually get out of those love traps.
Therapy, right? Years of Freudian therapy. Oh, well, your mother and your father, right? So, yeah, that is really the key, isn't it? You identify it and then have to work with it. Are there any shortcuts that you can share with our listeners, rather than the old-fashioned talk to a therapist about it?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm just working on a shortcut, because I do believe, and my experience shows with my clients, that you can actually get out of that and create healthy relationships. And what I've done is I have created a program that helps people identify their love trap. So it first starts with like a diagnostic assessment, so that they really, because often those love traps and our love stories were unconscious. You know, we do things a certain way, but that's just the way the world is. Mm. That's how we do things. Right. We don't even think about it. So first, people have to become aware of it. And then a lot of what happens is that our beliefs and our convictions about relationships and how things should be come into play. Mm-hmm. So it's not a situation by itself that hurts or benefits us in our relationship, but it's more like the thoughts that we have and that then make us go into one or the other direction.
Well, your thoughts do create your reality.
Yes, yes. So you create your own reality. When your partner comes home and you ask them, I'm very busy today, did you go shopping? And he says, no, he didn't. So what is your reality? Do you feel like, ugh, you know, like he never does anything for me, he never comes through? Or do you think that, well, you know, he must have been really busy today. Maybe I should follow up with him and ask how he is doing. And so that's kind of like, and so what we need to do is actually identify those thoughts and then change them. And we also, what in the program we also do is indeed go a little bit back to our childhood and figure out what was it that actually made us feel a certain way that, you know, created those beliefs. And so the cool thing is that you don't have to go to therapy for that.
Well, that's
good. I'm developing an online program where you actually get the benefits of therapy, because it's based on our own research on love and relationships and on cognitive behavior therapy, which has been, you know, scientifically proven and shown to work over and over again. Well, you can do that, and I'll be there, and I'll teach participants step by step how to do that. What's their love trap? How? Where does it come from? How does it affect their relationships? And then we'll work on changing those relationships, changing any dysfunctional thoughts that they have. For example, I'm not good enough. I can never live up to my partner's standards. Or, you know, people who always seek out narcissists because, you know, they feel like they're looking for people who kind of like essentially put them in their place. Or people who feel like they always have to serve others and give themselves in their relationship.
Right. And that's a big one. That's a big one, isn't it? Feeling feeling this intense responsibility.
Right? Yes.
All right.
Yes, absolutely. And so they get more and more unhappy until at some point they explode because they feel like they don't even own their life anymore. And so when it comes.
Right. But then they carry it on to the next person, don't they? Because if they haven't resolved it, that which we resist persists. Right. I don't know who said that, but somebody did a long time ago. I remember reading it and I thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, you can have a problem and you can like you just said, and then you realize your life isn't your own. You feel responsible for this person.
Yeah.
You have to take care of them. You know, and then you feel guilty and bad that you weren't, you had to leave. But then the problem is that round two or three or four or five, whatever it is, you end up doing the same thing again. You find that person that needs to be perhaps rescued or enabled, for lack of not knowing the right word. I think either one of those will probably work, right? So,
Exactly. So those love traps, those dysfunctional stories and beliefs, they're actually fighting hard for their survival. Because imagine that's what you grew up with. Mm. You have this belief. Maybe you grew up and you had, as you said before, a narcissistic mother or father. Mm-hmm. And they always put you down and put you in your place. Or you grew up in a family where there was a sick sibling or a sick parent, and you always had to take care, and so that's how you work, and that is your image of yourself. You have to serve others, you have to make them happy. That is what makes you valuable as a person. And so those dysfunctional thoughts, those love traps, they fight for their survival, and that's why you can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they belong to you, and they make you feel like the world is in order. Mm-hmm. Things are as they are, but it isn't working out for you. It might have at some point in the past, but now it doesn't anymore.
Right. We are going to take another short break, Karen, but when we come back, I would like to talk about emotional unavailability. I think that I don't know that I would just say it's women. I do think a lot of women are attracted to emotionally unavailable men, but I also think that men can also be attracted to that. I guess particularly, I guess it would come back to their attachment style, you know, maybe growing up, maybe if the man wasn't, his mother wasn't available or the woman's father wasn't available. Or maybe, again, there was a triangle there with a jealousy, because parents can get jealous, you know? I mean, right? So anyway, so when we come back, listeners, we are going to talk about emotionally unavailable partners. So don't go anywhere. Much more to come.
Don't touch that dial. More of The Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Are you not only ready to feel more confident in your body but want to experience lasting health? Then Erin Zell is your go-to person. Erin is uniquely prepared to help you navigate the changes that are inevitable in midlife. Regain energy, strength, and most important, a sense of self without a restrictive diet and an overwhelming routine. Get started now on your journey toward feeling your best. Contact Erin today to begin feeling your best. Visit her at erinzell.com. You'll be glad you did.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back from exploring the four essential perspectives of love, intimacy, passion, commitment, and environmental context. We didn't talk about that. To the deeper emotional traps we can fall into. Karen Sternberg's approach merges theory with practical strategies drawing from cognitive behavioral therapy and schema therapy. So if you've ever found yourself caught in a love triangle or a struggle with repeating relationship patterns, you'll want to stay with us here. So welcome back, Karen.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So before the break, I asked you about emotional availability, because that's just so darn huge, right? It just absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether that comes from the attachment styles that have played a role, you know, in growing up and in terms of possessiveness and controlling behaviors.
So it depends on what you're asking me. Are you asking me about a person's ability to make themselves emotionally available and to be intimate with someone? Or are you asking me about people's tendency to seek out partners who aren't emotionally
part
available?
A and part B.
Okay, everything. Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, you learn a lot during your childhood as you grow up. So one thing that our parents and our family, our caregivers, but also, you know, preschool, schools, what they teach children is how to express your emotions and what to share with others or what is not appropriate to share. So during your childhood, all those foundations are already laid. What can I share? What can I not share? How do I share? And if you grow up in a family where people don't really share much, they don't give each other much affection. How, for example, do your caregivers react when you're sad? Do they just gloss over it? Do they really talk with you about your pain, or is it more about physical pain in your family? So all these things play a role. And so we grow up, and we have a certain style to kind of like open ourselves up to others more or less. And it also obviously depends on your personality. Are you rather shy and introverted person, or are you an extrovert and you like to talk a lot? So all these things play a role as well. So it's our environment, but also our personality.
Okay. So environmental context, that explains that. Because I was just thinking that I actually grew up in a very large family, 8 children. So that's a big family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I remember at dinner, my mother would say, you know, one at a time, you know. You know, it's not your turn yet, you know, but I had, you know, a big voice, always did. Yeah. And it's sort of, I look at it as, you know, they always say, do what you love and the money will follow. Well, I do what I love. So, you know, my soul needs a place to emote, to share. I mean, even as a child, I remember going to the beach and finding, you know, burnt wood on the ground. You know, people would, you know, adults maybe had bonfires the night before or something. And I found myself drawing pictures on the rocks with, so, you know, I always had a great need to express. So regardless of what I grew up with, I was expressing. Of course, not always, sometimes to my parents' dismay, but nonetheless, right? But nonetheless, I was doing that. But okay, so we're talking about, you know, that. What about seeking that person, that emotionally distant person out?
Well, first of all, of course, it depends a little bit on what you want. So if you don't want much intimacy in your relationship, for example, you might seek out such a person. But I think you're more asking about a situation where we actually seek more intimacy, but we don't get it. And that often comes back also to love traps again, where we seek out partners that fit our schema, our image of a good partner that we feel attracted to, but who's not really good for us. For example, when people have issues around abandonment, they're always worried they will lose their partner, that their partner might, you know, have an affair. Here's the love triangle again. That their partner might leave them, that their relationship is unstable, even if possibly it isn't, but that's the way they perceive it. So in that case, if a lot of your worries revolve around abandonment, then you might actually seek out a partner who's not emotionally available or only to some extent, because that fits into your image of how partners are. They're not available. They're going to leave you alone. That's just the way the world goes. That is what relationships are. So you unconsciously actually seek out that kind of partner because that's what you expect. Also, you can't really, it's not a threat when you're with someone who's not emotionally available because, you know, they're not sharing much of them with you anyway. So sometimes we unconsciously fall into these old patterns again. And if we do that once, then, you know, it's too bad. But if you have a pattern, that's when I then call a love trap. And that's where you really need to get thinking about, like, how can I change that? Mm-hmm. You know, because you can change those love traps and those beliefs to create better relationships. But it's often those love stories and love traps that bring you into those situations where you choose partners who are, for example, not emotionally available.
And this is really a very good, you know, big work that you're doing because so many people, marriages fall apart, right? So many affairs happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, but in some ways, it almost sounds like we're creating our own destiny. I mean, after all, we're controlled pretty much by our subconscious, wouldn't you say?
Yes, we absolutely are. But, you know, and by our subconscious, and by that, I mean all the beliefs that we have.
Right.
And, the conceptions of what a relationship should be, what a good partner should be. And so we're controlled by that, and we don't know it. But we can make that conscious for ourselves, and that is the point where we can start asking ourselves about our beliefs. like when we meet someone, we think, oh, like he's attractive, you know, like, or she's like, oh, you know, like she seems like a good partner. Well, we can start to think. And I've also worked with people because it is true that, yes, we are more attracted to some people than others. And that is something that, you know, like that kind of like a hormonal kind of like a reaction, like an immediate reaction, a biological reaction to a person, you may not be able to change that. But I've worked with people who then became aware of their beliefs and their automatic thoughts, and they change and they say, well, you know what, this person isn't really good for me because he's too dominant. And he just, so, and then they said to themselves, okay, I'm going to try to stay a little bit away from the alpha males and just give someone else a chance as well. It's just about giving others a chance, not falling for the same pattern, but becoming aware of what you're doing and where, you know, your like story, your lens is guiding you, and then trying to vary and see, well, but what if I give someone else a chance? The person I'm talking about, right, she's happily married today. So she really broke out of that pattern. She always went for those alpha males who dominated her. She was extremely unhappy and thought like she was never going to find someone that she could marry and have a good relationship with. And when she became aware of her pattern of looking for a certain kind of man, thought, okay, this guy doesn't quite fit my pattern, but I'm going to give him a try and see what happens, because otherwise he seems really fine and a great fit actually to me. And that's where then things also happen. So you have to be aware of your pattern before you can actually break out of it.
Right. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit, we're going into our last segment here, but I'd like to talk about the impact of love triangles a little bit more in depth from a psychological standpoint. So listeners, stay with us here. We have more to come.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030. Or visit HandymanConnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Are you not only ready to feel more confident in your body but want to experience lasting health? Then Erin Zell is your go-to person. Erin is uniquely prepared to help you navigate the changes that are inevitable in midlife. Regain energy, strength, and most important, a sense of self without a restrictive diet and an overwhelming routine. Get started now on your journey toward feeling your best. Contact Erin today to begin feeling your best. Visit her at erinzell.com. You'll be glad you did.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am talking to Karen Sternberg. She's a seasoned therapist, obviously, if you've been listening, and relationship expert. She's dedicated to helping individuals and couples navigate the complexities of love, intimacy, and personal growth. Karen, before the break, I said that I would like to talk a little bit about some of the impacts that love triangles can have. And I know we kind of got off a little bit on a tangent and didn't, the last segment didn't talk too much about love triangles, but in this very last segment, I would like to talk about that because I think it's important. And so I want to start with asking you, how do love triangles affect a person's self-worth and more importantly, their self-identity, if they are feeling like they're competing for love or attention?
So it's that love triangles are inherently difficult because we humans aren't really made to be in groups of three. And so it is the way it is. So if you're in a group of three, especially when it comes to romantic relationships, there's going to be jealousy. There's going to be rivalry, and that is where it becomes really hard and where people's self-esteem is affected. And so some people may actually seek out, like, are in a relationship, but seek out someone else in order to increase their self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so that is one reason why somebody might actually seek out somebody else, because they don't get what they need in their relationship. But on the other hand, if you are, like, in a love, if your partner is involved in that love triangle, your self-esteem can also be very negatively affected. So it generally is difficult because there's a complex dynamic, there's, you know, jealousy, and all those different kinds of emotions. And it's actually very interesting because I looked, there's one study by Felsen that was done and that looked at homicides in relation to love triangles. And as you know, generally men are much more likely to be violent than women. But when it comes to love triangles, if you just isolate the love triangles and those crimes, they actually found that love triangles motivate women more often to kill than men.
Right. What is that expression? Half hath no fury or something, but the woman scorned or something like that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. And so I thought that was actually very interesting. And what is also interesting is that they found that actually, who do you think, if there's a love triangle and somebody is going to get killed, who is going to get killed? Well, it depends, because females usually kill their lovers, while males kill their rivals. So actually, it's the men who have more of, like, a motive in terms of identity, because they're, like, in that situation of rivalry. They're killing their rival. So identity and self-esteem actually plays a big role for males here. And interestingly, then, if you think it through, though, in those love triangles, the victim is more likely to be a man, because females usually kill their lovers. They're usually men. And males usually kill their rivals, and that's also usually a man. So in these cases, it's actually the man is a man is more likely to be a victim.
Wow.
So,
What coping mechanisms then can help individuals navigate the feelings of jealousy or, I guess, inadequacy?
I think it also depends on what you want to do, because there are some people who have open relationships and who have love triangles and they know about it. So the question is, can and do you want to deal with that? For example, there is one, I worked with one person and she didn't get some of the intimacy and passion she wanted from her husband, but they had two young kids. And so she was really committed to the relationship. So they actually agreed to her going out and finding some of that intimacy and passion in a different relationship.
And did it work?
And that, so far, it's working.
Oh, my goodness. And that sounds like a polyamorous relationship to me.
Yeah, it is. In a way, it really is. Although she's just committed to that one man and her family. But so it's like, so the question is, how do you deal with it? Her husband doesn't have a problem dealing with it. and he knows about it. But mm-hmm. if somebody is aware of that and they're having a problem with it, then how do you deal with it? You probably need to talk with your partner mm-hmm. and work it out. Mm-hmm. Because that jealousy, it's not going away. And so I would talk about it in most cases, because love triangles are inherently unstable.
No.
You know, they work
yeah.
until
yeah.
they don't work.
Yeah.
So the question is really, can you keep doing this?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I believe that's actually very accurate. And I think that even the most, understanding person at some point feels inadequate, or feelings come up of, wanting
yeah.
to be, it also triggers possessiveness, and I think I mentioned earlier, or control in a partner. So,
yeah.
So, how can people in relationships set healthy boundaries without triggering those feelings?
Well, in terms of a love triangle,
yeah.
you just really have to verbalize it. Or you can also then, like in most cases, at some point it's going to be, you need to break this off because I don't feel good in our relationship if there's somebody else involved. But if there's some common understanding, this is going on and we'll try to survive this, or you need this, or to deal with these feelings, it just really, it depends.
Mm.
You can try to, I would always talk with the partner, but then if you're feeling jealous, you can dig deeper and say, well, what is it that's making me feel jealous, and what can we do mm-hmm. about these feelings? Or if you feel, you might also just feel threatened in your relationship, that your relationship at some point is going to break apart. So these things need to be addressed, but when you feel like uncomfortable, it really, you have to find out, what is it? Is it your feelings of control? Is it your feelings of security and safety in the relationship? Is that, is it something about you're just worried that somebody will bring in some STDs into the relationship? Or is it more like you're feeling unsure of yourself, your self-esteem is suffering?
Mm.
You have to first figure out what it is you're dealing with and what's giving you problems.
Well, I think I just don't think that anybody who's involved in a love triangle, in my opinion, it's not for the faint of heart.
No, it isn't. And it's just, you have to really, if you're engaged in something like that, you're going to have to think about what's happening afterwards, because there's so many ways it can go wrong. And mm-hmm. are you really willing to risk the relationship you have right now? Or are you willing to risk always being the third wheel? So you have to think about these things. But it's,
right.
it's not an easy situation.
So, Karen, how much time do we have left, Gwen? 3 minutes left. So I'm going to put you in a box here and just ask you if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice for breaking free from love traps and creating a healthier relationship, what would it be?
So I would like every one of you to know that I absolutely believe in you. And I believe that everybody, no matter what your experiences in the past, in your childhood, or also experiences with prior relationships, no matter your experiences, you can make it work. You can create successful, happy, and stable relationships. And I also want everybody to know that you are worthy of love and of being loved. And so if you feel like you are caught in a love trap, the way that you would go about it is first identify what is really the issue, what's going wrong, am I feeling insecure about myself, am I always worried my partners are going to abandon me and whatever. And then you find out where are the roots, where are those feelings coming from. And then as a next step, you go about, you identify thoughts that you have that pop up automatically. Like, oh, he said he's going on a business trip. Well, that means he doesn't really love me. He's going to leave me eventually. Like, and ask, are those thoughts valid, and create alternative explanations and start also act differently. And that is how you're going to get out of those love traps. And I'm creating an online course right now that will take about probably 6 or 7 weeks. And if you feel inclined, I would be very happy to have you. But no matter if you do or not, I just want you to know there is hope. And you can create great relationships. And I wish you the very, very best.
Well, thank you so much, Karen, for being a guest on my show tonight. And how can our listeners reach you?
They can reach me by going on my website. It's lovemultiverse.com. So multiverse like universe. It's lovemultiverse.com. There's also, you can contact me through that website. I'd be super happy to hear from any of you. You can have a big relationship library. You can browse that library. I have quizzes. So you're invited to make the very best of the resources. Or if you have any questions, please let me know. I also have a newsletter that you can subscribe to.
Well, Karen, it has absolutely been a pleasure. And I personally have learned so much. So thanks so much again for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure being here with you.
All right. We've got to wrap things up and say goodnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Make it a great week.
Agora tá chorando pelo que perdeu.